Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Labor Day. A lot of people are taking, you know, today off, but not college football. Tonight, we're going to hit you with a whole bunch of college football, and I'll tell you about my trip to Jerry's house, to Jerry's world, here on RSG One Mic.
Log Talk Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
It's for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We will. There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron shows and fans, the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Drup.
Yes. Today,
Log Talk Radio.
This show, this one mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And you can do that. You know, people talk a lot about their training staff.
Log.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
This is RSG with D. Wells. I'm here at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Michigan is Florida. The atmosphere is incredible. You can hear it, man. We're sitting here in the Michigan section. You know, I'm a hometown guy from Ann Arbor, so I'm enjoying it from this vantage point. But the atmosphere is great for college sports. I wish you were here. But I'll definitely drop the line to you when you listen to us on our podcast. RSG is in the house. I'm here with my brother Steve. Steve, tell us how you feel about the game tonight.
Hey, I feel lovely about it. It's a beautiful day. We about to win and give me this birthday win, and we about to smash them, and we heading on to the national championship. Go Blue!
So now you know why I'm here. It's Steve's birthday weekend. You can hear him in the background, they're getting funky. You know, he grew up with Jim and John Harbaugh. It was great to meet Jim's wife and you know, family atmosphere to Creighton here in Michigan. You got all the alumni, got a lot of players here today sitting in the section. Florida's got folks in, you know, it's gonna be one of these competitive games, but you know, at the end of the day, I always tell you I'm from Ann Arbor, so it's blue all day.
Yeah, that was me. Yep, down there in Dallas.
Man.
It's Jerry's world, baby. I want to do that for you because I know you were supposed to be in the house with me. Man, it was a great way to kick off college football, man. And, you know, that was my brother, Steve Wilson. You know, he grew up with the Harbaughs, and we had a chance to kind of connect with some folks there on the Michigan side. But the atmosphere at AT&T Stadium was electric. The Gator fans were out there hard. The Wolverine fans out there hard. It was just a great scene for college football, and I had a great time, man. And we'll talk a little bit more about that game and other college stuff today. You know, all the calls are brought to you by our good friends over there at Carbon World Health, you know, the complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com to connect with Dr. Rodriguez and his staff to learn more about lifestyle medicine. Tell them that the Real Sports Guys sent you. And follow us on realsportsguys.com, or you can listen to us on iTunes. Just type in Real Sports Guys and give us a review. Give us 5 stars. You know, give us love. We love that. And you can look for us on Real Sports Guys on all social media platforms. We'll gauge you. We'll get there. You can get me personally at RSG, D-Wills, D-W-I-L-S, on all those platforms, including Snapchat and everything else. But, yeah, the AT&T Stadium college football is official. Yes, Labor Day weekend. But, hey, we got some folks working on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and a lot of things going on. So, you know, Hank and I will be able to hit that button. Let me bring my guy in. How you doing, Hank?
Hey, you know, I'm doing great, D. Wells, and I just want to say to everybody out there, very happy Labor Day to you. You know, this is one of those days, you know, that that work came back in the day where the labor workers and labor unions got together and they take a time out to get us this a 3-day weekend, but it's really to celebrate the work, the workers here in America, and to each and every one of you, again, a very happy Labor Day. I hope your day was peaceful, because this is the unofficial end of summer, D, unfortunately. You know, as they say, Memorial Day kicks it off, Labor Day closes it out. So, you know, it can be bittersweet, because after right around Labor Day is my favorite time of the year, buddy, and that's college football. And, you know, we can spend all this show talking about it. You will not hear a mumbling word from the negative out of me.
Well, we're going to have some stuff that's going to heat it up, because there's a lot of stuff, even the storylines that begin in week one. And, yeah, I think, you know, it's to recognize, you know, all the people get up every day. And I know today that there are folks still working hard in Houston, particularly in Dallas. We were hearing a lot of stories. I was engaging a number of people who flew up from Houston, got away. Some folks connected to our family down there from Houston that was up there. We were able to talk to them. You even felt the effect their alliance with gas in Dallas, because they weren't able to get the gas, the refineries in Houston getting gas up there. So there are a lot of people still digging out down there in Houston and cities like Beaumont in Texas. But you know that you can hear, you can feel the spirit there in a great state. A lot of people rallying and going to be looking. I know we have another hurricane coming at us, and you know, just want to extend blessings and just our thoughts and prayers out to folks as they continue to work their way through this from all of us here at Real Sports Guys.
Absolutely. I can't amplify what you're saying any more than that, but I want to also give a shout-out to all those who have contributed to the relief effort in Houston. I just want to say that you just see some of the numbers that's come in that's, you know, to help this city to rebuild and to just get back on its feet, you know. It's just been fantastic. J.J. Watt and his effort of over $18 million, you know, just it's just been something to behold. It's good to see, you know, in the midst of such a tragic, you know, event, that you see just such an outpouring of from people. You know, when we're in such a divisive time, D, you want to take a minute to just, you know, take pause or something that is just that wonderful. To really try to see, you know, others try to rally together and get this great city back up on its feet. You know, bravo to all of those, and to continue the efforts to, you know, get Houston and the outlying areas, you know, back on its feet.
Way to go, and we'll continue to monitor that. And you know, part of our space that we do here on Real Sports Guys, we really pay attention and will speak to issues that are impacting communities. That's just a part of what we do. If it's the first time you are listening to us, and you'll hear that on all of our platforms. This is one mic where we tend to go deeper in terms of our topic. Today we'll be focused on college football. If you want to catch some of our other podcasts on our platform, The Big Show with my guy Phil and Marcus. I describe that as a kind of a seminar in a barbershop. There's that barbershop energy, but we're going to hit you in the head intellectually, mixing up a little bit of humor. And then Hank does Inside the Park. That's our focus on baseball, the national pastime. But we in the twist. It's beyond metrics. You know, it's adding the life and the oomph back into baseball. And Hank does an incredible job with that. We're going to continue to push Inside the Park. And then we have our Hustle and Flows. That's where Sekou and Marcus, that intersection between hip-hop and sports. And you'll get much, much more for us as we continue to push this platform. We thank you all for being here. You know, we got kind of the Wu-Tang effect of sports. You know, we got so many talented folks, but we all gather around this Real Sports Guys kind of momentum. So we'll drop a lot of different things on you as we roll throughout the year. So today it's Labor Day weekend, but you know, college football is officially opened its doors. You know, there were some games before, but Labor Day weekend, as Hank said, is kind of the end of the summer, but really the kickoff to the college football season. We had some incredible games on. We were able to see what's happening with some of these folks in the top 10. As I can say, you know, with everything going on, people can say a lot about Jerry Jones. What they can't say anything about him is that he understands business and he understands presentation. And if you have not been to AT&T Stadium, it's a treat to go down there. Everything's higher than a giraffe's neck down there in terms of prices, but the presentation in that stadium to come in there, he'll reach into your pocket, though. Jerry ain't going to miss any money. But it was an incredible environment to be there for Michigan against Florida. You know, two teams that are trying to find their identity, trying to make a run and being hopeful. Florida coming into the game with a number of suspensions, some knuckleheads who are trying to resell shirts and do some incredible stuff. I understand, you know, we are folks who talk about folks needing to have access to resources and everything else. But like I always tell my students, there's a good hustle and a bad hustle. And trying to resell shirts that you know they might be tracking is not a good hustle. And so they come in, Gator fans, with, you know, I describe them as they're coming to the arena. They're a lot like Conor McGregor. They're talking a lot of junk early. They're talking a lot of junk early as we walk into the stadium. You know, had a lot of creative stuff they were saying on the way in. It was one of the reasons why I tried some Gator meat this summer, so I know what it tastes like to eat Gator. And so I want to understand that as we're coming in. They got the Gator fans, though, are very gracious. There's a Southern hospitality to them, but at the same time, they're trying to bring a little swag to it. And they're killing me with the dress, though. Everybody kind of dressing up like they're going to the cocktail party. You know, skinny jeans are up there, skinny pants up there with the plaid shirts. You know, it was something to be seen. The atmosphere was right. Michigan was out there in the maize uniforms. You know, you had Emmitt Smith there as the guest captain for the toss. It was quite a spectacle. And so I want to open up with that. You know, college football season starting, Hank. Just your general observation. I know, you know, and even as you're thinking about, I know you're a Michigan fan, even as you were thinking about that game, what were you feeling like this weekend? What was it like to be watching the game from where you were? Because you know you were supposed to be in the building, but give me your feel about how you did.
Let me tell you. First of all, you know how I am about college football. So the fact that what the NCAA called week zero, where you had all these games, D, that kind of started just before this weekend, you know, to kind of wet your whistle, if you will. You had teams like Stanford playing Rice, you know, out in Australia. And you had games like that. You had Ohio State this Thursday where you had a mega cast of folks with the game on three or four different stations. And they're playing Indiana. Indiana. When the last time was Indiana even prime time in the football? You know, I mean, I don't think your father's father was born when that happened. But the point is they hyped it up because they knew that folks was ready to watch college football. They could not wait to get their college football fix on. So with that being said, you move into the primetime games, which they have been hyping all year. And I love the fact that they start the season. You know, they have all these different games that's played in these professional ballparks, in these professional football stadiums. You know, you had Purdue playing Louisville down in Indianapolis, okay, at Lucas Oil Stadium. You had the game last night where you had Virginia Tech against West Virginia, and they're playing where the Redskins play. You had the game down at Jerry World. You had the game with Florida State and Alabama, you know, in the new stadium in Atlanta. It was awesome, you know. And when that game came on, now get back to the Michigan game. When that game came on, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? It felt like I had 8, maybe 10 pounds of concrete and it had just solidified in my stomach. I just was absolutely devastated. I knew I was supposed to have been down there. And when my boys ran out on the field with them sweet maize unis on, I was like, man, I know they are going crazy down there. I know they're going absolutely nuts. Now, with that being said, just like every other college football fan in America that has a passion for their team, it's time to get in the game mode. So then all of a sudden, you get rid of the, well, I should be there, but I'm here right now in spirit. Now my heartbeat is up in my neck, right, especially after the back-to-back turnovers. You know, then all of a sudden, for Michigan fan, that turns into gloom and doom, even though you got a whole second half left to play. But we saw what we saw. The team pulled it out. You know, we learned that we don't take too much out the first game because they don't have a preseason or anything like that in college football. But you have to enjoy the pageantry. You have to enjoy the passion. And the thing is every team has that passion. Every team has that joy. And that's the one thing about this sport that just it does set itself apart from everything else, man. It's just that everybody has that enthusiasm on any given Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and last night, and then going into tonight. And if you're just a fan, you just eat this up. But I got to tell you, you know, it's even more fun to continue to watch the games once your team wins.
Some really good stuff there. And, you know, let's start with a couple of games. Let's start with the Michigan game, and then I want to go back to a couple other games we'll throw up in. You know, one thing that you and I are going to talk about is, you know, there are a couple of coaches who are on the hot seat. We have a couple of new coaches who came in and had their first game. And one particular is the Texas coach, because that situation was the most interesting in terms of the change and why they made the change and then what happened to them this past weekend. But with Michigan, I mean, one of the things that happened, I had a chance, we were hanging around the hotel. People asked me a lot of questions about Michigan. I think I had even had a couple of Florida fans and a couple we were talking a little bit. And one of the things I said, and I told my brother this when we were preparing and thinking about the game, is that, and people know that, you know, I also have this allegiance to the Badgers as well. But I think both these teams have the same issue. And I said it. I said, look, the quarterback's got to make four or five plays again that he makes. Not that was designed by the coach to get the play there, but that you can tell that this is a play that he's making. And, you know, I said, Wilton, I said that last year. At Iowa, he didn't make it. Against Ohio State, he didn't quite make it. Now, he was coming off an injury. People understood that. In the ball game, you know, they quite didn't have it there. So part of it was, you know, his shoulder healed. Coming back, he's got an offseason. They named him the starter. I know they had the competition, but everybody had a pretty good feeling he was going to be starting. So I'm saying this, and then Steve goes, Will's dad. Now, Will's dad's like 6'5", behind me, but I'm like, hey, truth is truth. And, I'm just going to say what I got to say. And so I'm sitting there watching the game, and it was like he never calmed down. He never relaxed. He was throwing the ball behind people. He was throwing it 100 miles an hour. It felt like watching an early Brett Favre. And then he gets yanked for O'Korn, and then they come back to him. But he still doesn't quite make those plays. And he's got some young receivers, but, you know, you got to be able to make it easy on them. And so I think going forward, they're really going to have to do it. The one thing I didn't see Michigan do a lot until late was even throwing the ball to the tight end. One of the things you think about a Jim Harbaugh team is the featuring the tight end of fullbacks. The middle was open. I was there with my cousin, who was a former, football coach. He coached internationally. He coached college football. I mean, he was saying middle of the field is open. You know, they're not using tight end. Finally, late in the second half of this. So I think there's some things from the Michigan side that that were I really think they have to clean up. That you're not even with Cincinnati game, you're not going to know until they get against another highly ranked squad to see if those things have really been fixed. You know, a game like Cincinnati can be fool's gold because they can work, but it's not with the same level of intensity and kind of stress that you're going to be under when you're playing against, you know, top 15 competition. And then on the Florida side, you know, I think, you know, they
then pull sparks out. And even though he was struggling, he's your future. You got to just ride it with him. He's going against the, you know, Michigan's defense is a championship looking defense. Florida's defense still looks pretty good, you know. But this is, you got to figure out how to win with this guy, and then you take him out. And I'm thinking you got to leave this kid in and just kind of let him play, let him kind of work through a lot of these things and learn under this environment. So, you know, there's a number of things these coaches are going to be walking away with. But when he turned that ball over twice, and, you know, people could say, well, the receivers should have caught it, but that thing was high, hard.
Yeah, it was.
That kind of threw me off. And man, you see some ex-players were like, they're breathing quiet. And then a couple of Gator fans trying to come over and sit down. Then, but when Michigan went on that run, I turned around, they were gone. So it was. You know, it was. You could see the defense is championship for Michigan. They're fast. They control the line of scrimmage. That defense, even though people had a lot of questions about it, that defense is going to be a championship level defense. Offensively,
yes.
They got more talent. Last year, I didn't think they had that talent that could just hit the house. This year, they got the talent to hit the house, but it's all going to come down to how well the quarterback can get all of those guys the ball and control the game. And so it's going to be interesting to kind of see this thing moving forward, man, but there was a lot of pissed people when he threw two interceptions. I can say that.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you. Let me give you my observation. And I don't blame you, because the second interception looked worse than the first one. Okay, you had folks that, especially if you were watching it on television, you had some folks saying, well, Kakoa Crawford got both hands on the ball, which means he needs to pull it down. Okay, the second one, you know, he just really poorly, very poorly overthrew Grant Perry, and there you go. You cannot do that. Now, see, here's the thing that, being a Michigan fan, you go back to the Ohio State game last year, and that turned the tide in that game. Michigan was handling that game. He throws a pick six, and there you go. You're off to the races. And, see, so this is something that if a Michigan fan is saying is a chronic problem. Okay, and this is also an issue that we saw in the spring. We saw that he has some issues with his accuracy. Now, I don't know if, you know, I fully believe that his shoulder is healed. But, you know, does that also kind of rattle his confidence a little bit? You know, even the fact that we're saying that it was a quarterback competition with all the time he had last year. And the thing that I saw was, you know, twofold with Wilton Spate. He also has some very nice deep throws. He made some very nice deep throws. He missed a couple. He missed a wide open touchdown pass, a couple of them. Okay, when they go back and show it on replay, he missed Crawford again. He tried to run a fade. He just threw it right in his chest. Nobody was going to touch him. All of Florida's defense was on the line of scrimmage. Okay, and then he, again, as you said, he hit the middle was wide open. They waited till almost late in the second half to start using the tight ends. I don't know what that was about. Maybe that was play calling. But I do want to get back to a couple of things that we didn't talk about. First of all was the offensive line. Michigan ran for over 200 yards on a very aggressive defense, okay? That's to say something. Ty Isaac, the running back, all of a sudden now they started to open up some holes. They were able to run on third and long and pick up first downs. That was impressive to me. I think that's the unsung hero of this game was the fact that they were able to actually move the ball late in the game by running the football, which was something that we did not see at all last year with this team. And then the other piece to that is that they have a very athletic offensive line, which was only going to get better. Now, I think that because when you throw back-to-back pick sixes, that's going to get the attention, especially of the national media, especially of your fans and saying, okay, he ain't got it. But I don't think that's the whole story, D. I think that that he had to gain his confidence. I think this game is going to go a long way for the confidence of Wilton Spate, simply because Jimmy handled it properly. Put him back in the game, let him, you know, orchestrate that victory, okay, or with a couple of nice passes, and let this kid get his stuff together. I think that injury, he got rattled a lot last year. He got rattled in the Colorado game last year, if you recall, when he took a shot, and he wasn't the same quarterback. So he has to handle him with kid gloves. The rest of the quarterbacks, you might as well forget it. They're not ready yet. If they were ready, they'd be playing. You have to rely upon Harbaugh and his magic to get Spate right. That's the way I see it. I remember Michigan fans saying that they didn't think that Jake Rudock was any good after about week six. Now we see how he's doing. So this it's just going to take a little bit longer for Wilton, but I fully expect him to be a better quarterback than he was last year.
Yeah, and at first, you know, I was like, you know, this is just fundamentals because sometimes the ball's going high. It can be fundamentals, and there's some of that there. But some of it's just that he has to just calm down.
That's
like,
it.
At this point, you have enough games under your belt. Everybody else can be hyped and running around. You should be. And so I think part of it is he's got to control his motions early. And some of that might be how they do play calling. Like, they don't, you know, like the tight end. Every time they threw it to the tight end, they completed the pass. I mean, Florida was not bumping the tight end at the line. Every time he released, he was open. And that's a way that you could get a guy like that some confidence, you know, get him kind of in the flow. When you get a couple, then he's kind of calming down. So I think he's got to find ways to get him calm. And then I think once he's calm, he throws a good ball. And so I think a lot of it's psychological. But, you know, I think their biggest issue right now in Michigan between them and besides the game they got to play in Madison and go undefeated and Buckeyes is whether or not Wilton can be, because Wilton has to be a Big Ten first team performer. He's
yes.
got to be pushing All-American performance for them to get where they want to go. So that means he can't be the problem.
Right.
And so I think that's
let me,
I think
let me
that
add this, too.
Okay.
I also think that, you know, you cannot, you really cannot just dispel the fact that this is a new receiving unit for him. Okay, everybody. His two wideouts and his tight end are brand new from last year. All right? And so is he aiming the ball a little bit? Is he trying too hard the first time out with these guys? You know, there's just certain things, and I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying what I see. You got talent, but you also got to make sure that communication is down and right. And I think that what I look to see is – him having a little bit more confidence just to put the ball out there. Don't aim the ball. Just put it out there knowing your receiver can go get it. And, you know, you didn't necessarily see all of that. You saw him throwing the ball to a lot of different receivers. And so, you know, I truly believe because there were stretches last year where he was one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. So you just don't lose that. I think that coming back into this game with all that was going on, with a lot of uncertainty with what he was going to be throwing to, because that's a big deal for a quarterback. That's a big deal, especially when you got Kakoa Crawford, you got Tariq Black, who is the truth, all right? You got Peoples Jones, who I think he only targeted maybe once or twice. And you don't have Jake Butt. You've got a series of tight ends you got to get the ball to. We have to see how that transpires. I will see what goes on with that. But the fact is, they did move the ball on the ground, and that's going to help Wilton immensely, and it's going to help their play action. But that defense, if they were concerned about that defense, you know, I can't wait till you know, I'm glad that they don't play Penn State and Wisconsin until late in the season. Those two games are going to be some slobber knockers, buddy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that guy Bush, Hurst, those cats, they get around on you. You know,
yes,
running
they do.
Football is not going to be an easy thing. You know, they mean business. And that defensive backfield is only going to get better. And you can see the talent back there. So that defense is going to get better. Let me change over here. The other game that I was keeping my eye on, obviously, was what was happening up there in Madison. And let me paint the picture a little bit. Utah State, the last time they came into Camp Randall, they were led by Gary Anderson, who ended up – it was on that game where Bielema was getting the roast, where Utah State went into the half, and they were pretty much dominating. Defense was incredible. They had the Badgers on the hills. I was actually down in the field to see that, the speed. And that was actually a game that Alvarez, when Bielema left, after watching that game, saw Anderson as would be his next coach. And so I was interested to see how Utah State, because this is a program that not a lot of people understand and you know and notice that they give a lot of folks a hard time. And so they start out the first quarter 10-0, and I'm nervous again. And then the Badgers go on a 59-0 run. look like them old days. And I had the same question we just had about Spate, about Hornibrook, more about Hornibrook because he started as a freshman, and how is he going to get to be a sophomore? This is a guy from Pennsylvania. You know he's got the skills, but, you know, you want to see if those things mature. And then, you know, he goes for 244 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. But that running game, the Badgers have been known running back core, and watching, you know, Taylor and Shaw putting it together and getting those runs and pushing it up. They add a lot of talent, and then, you know, they are incredible. And then you got Troy Fumagalli, who is, you know, all American level tight end going. He had 105 yards and one TD. He caught one for 44. He's a tough cover by anyone. So, you know, people worry about the Badger defense. They look really good, and that offense looks like it's clicking. And so you look like you're beginning to set up. You know, there's going to be a meeting of the minds, I think, was it November 18th in Madison, between the Wolverines and the Badgers. There's going to be a meeting there in the middle of the field, Camp Randall. And I'm already excited about being in that house for that game. And Big Ten, you know, putting that big showing, you know, people are questioning where the Big Ten was going to be in that. And so that game looked good. And then you had Maryland.
Wow.
Basketball school go down to Texas and put it on the Longhorns. And, you know, everybody was like, Charlie got to go. And so they bring in another coach, you know, highly touted, comes on in and loses. Offense looks the same. Defense looks the same. Special teams looks the same.
I got to tell you.
Hank, I want to hear
you. I watched that game. And I was impressed first and foremost by what the DJ Durkin has done with Maryland, okay. And I hope their quarterback Pegram, I hope he isn't injured for any period of time. I haven't heard anything yet. That young man is the truth. But let me say this: when it comes to a new coach trying to coach another coach's players, okay, that's not the easiest thing to do. Okay, we went through that here, all right, and it takes some time. It takes some time. And when you got a team like Maryland, and listen, I thought the Big Ten as a whole accounted for itself, played itself very well this weekend, okay? Purdue played well. You know, Indiana played well for a half. You know, even Rutgers showed a little bit of life for a little bit. You know, they hung in there a little bit against Washington. So I thought they acquitted themselves very well, you know, this week. And it looked good, you know. Right? Team struggled early. You should expect that game won. But Maryland is going to surprise some folks. I think that when you see teams like Maryland and Purdue and Indiana, you know, these other teams that thought they were going to be able to take a step up, Michigan State, they're going to have to come and play. They're going to have to come and play every week. But to get back to that game, I think the most disappointing thing was watching Texas just fall all over themselves at home. Okay, they just – you could just tell that's a team that's got talent, but it just seems like, you know, a sedan stuck in the mud. It's just spinning their tires,
mm-hmm.
just spinning their tires. And it was like, what is wrong with y'all? And that's take nothing away from Maryland's performance, but it's just like they're just the mistakes, D. It's just like they didn't even go through spring practice or nothing. You know, like they was making some phenomenal mistakes and some penalties out of this world. I mean, that was not a good showing for Herman and for his first game. That team did not look prepared to play to me.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, you always get a feeling like, what is it going to be like to take that jump? You know, Urban Meyer had to take that jump from Utah to Florida, right? You can win, but taking that jump, when you're taking that jump and you're going to sit, you're sitting at the big kids' table, and that's what Texas is supposed to be doing. It's just a different game, right? Can your stuff travel with it? You know, and, you know, I think the closest you can probably compare Herman to is maybe Urban Meyer in terms of his ascent. And, you know, Urban was able to go in Florida and, you know, he was trying to clean things up. They had some success in that first year. But I think people did not expect that they would have this kind of performance against Maryland. I think you're right. Dirk Young, who's, you know, a former assistant at Michigan, you know, went out there and did his thing and got Maryland, and he's in a prime spot over there on the coast to recruit, you know, and to dip down into the south around the coast and dip up to New Jersey and get some running back in his own backyard. He's got some players. So, you know, it's always interesting. You can't draw too many conclusions from this first week, but, you know, if this trend continues for a week or so, you know, it's going to get interesting because people at Texas aren't that patient.
They're not that patient, but when all three phases of your game fail, okay, you can say we just talked about Michigan and said, you know what, the defense is the truth. They got a decent kicker, and the offense need to work on some things. Texas was crapping the bed everywhere. They had special team gaffes. They had defensive gaffes. They were turning the ball over. It just was they hung 41 points on Maryland, true enough, but they went home. Okay? That was an ugly performance. That was a terrible performance.
Yeah, but and that's the part that I said worries me, is like there was no fade. And it was like, well, what are y'all doing in the offseason to have none of the phases work? It would have been different.
Exactly.
The offense would have struggled, and the defense would have been different. But to have nothing that was working was really incredible and, you know, something that, you know, we're going to have to keep a watch on it. You know, and, you know, don't just try to push it off on these, you know, Charlie's players and a lot of stuff like that. You had a lot of time with these kids to put it in play. You think about what Harbaugh did, even though he was taking over some players and some guys quit, those kids, you could see immediately they were playing hard.
Right.
You could see it immediately they were beginning to take on his personality. So, you know, I want to see how this is all going to go. But then Saturday night we had the big show, Florida State against Alabama. Florida State against Alabama. B Rabbit. No, I feel like I'm doing 8 Mile. It was billed to be a slobber knocker, and all we saw was just the same old Alabama. It puts you in the bill constrictor. They put the, you know, Saban just, you know, you and I remember when Saban was 6-5 at Michigan State. You know,
right.
You know, we remember that struggle. You know, but Saban got down in the LSU, he got that recruiting thing down, and now over to Alabama, put you in the bull constrictor. And he just put it on. When you looked at that, what did you see in terms of Florida State that you liked, didn't like? And then with Alabama, you know, what do you see as potential weaknesses with Alabama, even though they had a strong performance?
Listen, you know, this game put me to sleep about twice, okay? I mean,
it did put me to sleep. I had a 6 o'clock flight, and I was falling asleep watching the game. You're right.
Man, that game must have knocked me out. Look, and I mean there was some good football on. I waited for that game, and I was waiting for that game. I figured with everything I had seen Saturday, this has got to be a good one. I must have nodded off at least twice. The thing is about it is the thing about Alabama is they there's no need to panic on their side, okay? You have a coach that's seen it all, and he knows his team well, okay? So he just figured he could wear out a Florida State team, and that's exactly what they did, okay? That it was like there's going to be a battle of wills here, and the first one that blinks is going to be the one that loses, and that's what you saw. I thought Florida State did okay. But Florida State just did not have an answer, okay? And poor Francois, that poor kid, is finally taking his toll. He's out for the season. He's got a torn patella tendon. He had to have surgery. But it was inevitable, okay? He was getting pounded last year, and they can say what they want to. They missed Dalvin Cook, okay? Dalvin Cook was the game changer, you know, throwing a shout-out to my boy there, for that team. All right, he was the straw to drink for that offense, and without the young backs they have just ain't him, and so you had no play action. Alabama pretty much knew what Florida State was going to do, and they just put their ears back, and that's what I saw. I saw Alabama being Alabama. You need some sort of dynamics to stretch that defense. Okay, to stretch that defense vertically, and then have a running back that causes a little bit of or somebody, a quarterback, that can cause a little bit of disruption to that defensive front. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. They didn't fear Francois throwing the ball down the field, and they did not have that dynamic running game that would have made this game more interesting. I think that, and with their quarterback out now, you know, we have to see what this does to Florida State. That's going to be tough because if they cannot generate any offense, they can't play defense for 60 minutes. They showed that on Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, you said, you know, everybody was paying attention to the offensive line to see if Francois was going to get some help, and it just was not happening. And you thought, you know, they could have cleaned that up in the offseason. And, you know, Alabama, same old Alabama. It doesn't mean that Florida State can't bounce back and make a run, but you need to see them be much more nastier and physical. You know, that's a game that's really about, you know, are you going, like Kevin Hart said about his uncle, you know, are you going to speak with your chest? Is that what he said? Whatever. You know, you got to come with that when you come to Alabama game. I want to see what kind of dog they were coming with, and I didn't see the physical response that I was expecting from Florida State. They got some players who could do it, but I didn't see that team leadership. I didn't see that kind of stuff that would just, you know, reflect the history of their program. And so we're going to wait to see. Alabama just moves on. You'll get a chance to see, you know, kind of, you know, they look like they're on a – I still didn't get a good sense. Hurst is throwing a little better. He's throwing a better deep ball. They are passing more and have much more balanced attack. So we'll see how that plays, you know, as they get into some tighter games. Do they get conservative again in ways that we saw happen with Ohio State against Indiana early on and work with Indiana just because they have better athletes, but I don't know if it's going to work. So, you know, are some of these coaches who you thought were changing, are they going to go back to the same old thing again? The other game, and this is a person that I don't know if you had a chance to watch him play, is Josh Jackson for Virginia Tech. And in West Virginia, they have Will Greer. Now, Josh Jackson played at Wesleyan High School. His father was former coach over, running back coach over at Michigan, right? He's starting for Virginia Tech. It's supposed to be that next kind of Mariota-type guy. They end up eking out the Mountaineers 31-24, playing in the Washington Redskins' home space. You know, another big game kind of highlight there. You know, Will Greer had a great game. He was 31 of 53 for 371 yards, three touchdowns. He had one interception. Josh was also running the ball well. So, but these teams, it was a competitive game. I think it was one of the better games of the weekend. I don't know if you had a chance to see Josh play when he was in high school at all, Hank, or what you might know about him. But he was a pretty talented kid. You know, looks like that resurgence at Virginia Tech found their quarterback.
I have to tell you, I was stunned. Okay, first of all, when I saw him on there, I saw a coach on the sideline after the game. I'm like, wow. I said, okay, I see you, young man. I see you. But, you know, when you think about it, I know I saw a lot of folks like, why didn't we recruit him? Why didn't we recruit him? Well, you see why they didn't recruit him. Okay, and I'm talking about University of Michigan. You see why they didn't recruit him. They didn't recruit him because he's a running quarterback. He's got a decent arm. But he's a run first quarterback. They made a lot of references in the game last night about him being the first freshman to start since who? Michael Vick. Okay, so they're already making those parallels. So unless they wanted to make him a pocket passer, which really does not accentuate the talent that he showed last night, a big kid, got good speed, can get up the field, can change the line of scrimmage. With his legs as well as with his arms, I think he's in the perfect spot. I didn't get a chance to watch him in high school, but you know, I got to be honest with you, D. I'm not that much into watching these high school kids too much. You know, I like to see them when they get to the collegiate level. But it was really neat to see him play and to see coach on the sideline, see Virginia Tech win that game. On the other side, Greer, though, with West Virginia, you know, Planter dropped the ball and kicked it out of bounds. They, you know, that's a guy right there. He had won his first six games before he got suspended for PED use, and it was over counter PED use. Now, and let me just speak to that real quick. That here's a kid that gets suspended for a year for over-the-counter use of a drug, but if he gets pulled over for a DWI, it's the coach's discretion of whether or not he gets suspended. Isn't that crazy? But I digress. But he showed what kind of quarterback he is. He is a mature quarterback, and oh, could Florida have used him the other night. But he's going to bowl well for West Virginia. That was a very exciting game. It was one of the most exciting games of the weekend, and it was fun to watch, as you stated, right there where the Redskins play. And again, I applaud the NCAA and the NFL for letting those games be played in those venues. It brings a little bit more excitement. It's almost like a postseason or preseason, you know, bowl games when they do that. So I like when they play those in those venues like that.
You're listening to RSG One Mike. It's Labor Day show. We're talking about college football today. We're going deep. When we come back, Hank and I are going to talk about a couple of coaches who are battling to see who was going to be in the hot seat. Talk to you on the other side. Real sports guys, One Mike. Back. This is RSG One Mike. This is where we spend a lot of time digging in on a topic. If you have a chance to hit some of our other podcasts on our platform, please check them out. We have the big show with myself and Phil. It's the Seminar in a Barbershop. It's going to be a little bit of humor. We're going to take it deep, hit you in the head a couple of times, have you laughing, a lot of energy. With those folks, you can catch that. We have Inside the Park with Hank, looking at baseball going beyond the metrics, going beyond all the quantitative data, but, you know, get back into the story of baseball, put some other stuff back into it, put some life and personality back in baseball, and that's what Hank does for us. And then we have our Hustle and Flows. That's the intersection between hip-hop and sports, where Marcus and Sekou, you know, we'll talk about both music and talk about sports. It's a great one. Sekou does an annual list of his favorite albums he's listened to, and we'll post that at realsportsguys.com. You might have seen his list from last year as well. You can catch us at Real Sports Guys on all social media platforms. Go to iTunes, type in Real Sports Guys or any other podcast platform, and subscribe. And then review, give us some fives, and give us some love and some feedback. We love that. Today's show is focused on college football. I'm here with my guy, Hank. And, you know, the thing about it, you know, this is where we begin to understand the business of college football. You know, everybody say it's about the education and the athletes and all of that stuff. But this is where you really start to understand
that, you know, it's about the money, you know, at the end of the day. You know, when you walk into a place like Jerry's World and you start to look at and see all that money up there that's being spent, you see, you know, just the spectacle that is done when we're preparing for these big events and what schools and colleges will do in preparation with their alums. I mean, there's a lot of money tied to this and a lot of emotions tied to this. You know, I sit in the stands down there in the AT&T Stadium, you know, with the Wolverine faithful. Yeah, you get a sense of that when you got the alums there and you got former football players there. You know, there's a lot of pressure to win. You got Emmitt Smith in there, you're a Gator fan, and you know, and you watch the performance. You know, Emmitt's got some notes he's sending back to campus about, you know, especially in his home stadium, you know, where he put the numbers up. He wants to see his team come out. So all of that is there. And no bigger game spoke your job is on the line than UCLA against Texas A&M. You got Mora Jr., you got Kevin Sumlin. Texas A&M fans have been on Kevin Sumlin. You know, UCLA Bruin fans thought they would have, you know, had a chance here to dominate L.A. and had a window that is beginning to close. And so there's a lot of tension around that. I watched it A&M, and I said this to myself. I was watching the game. We were watching the game, and they were just having a conversation about UCLA at halftime. They were talking about UCLA was not being physical enough, but not hitting people in the mouth. Dave Wannstedt gave the most fiery halftime talk to the audience that I've ever heard a coach analyst give. You know, he was pissed that, you know, seeing a team that you know, didn't really come out and fight. Rosen was getting knocked around. A&M was running all over them, actually running the football. So I go to sleep because I got an early flight. And I wake up to all this noise. The most dramatic fourth-quarter comeback of all time. Rosen, who was the highly touted quarterback. If people remember, if you ever watched Snoop Dogg's reality show he did with his son, when they're playing, he's playing high school in Nevada, competed, I think, against Rosen's team. You know, it was a big thing about Snoop's son thinking about going to UCLA versus USC. Snoop said he'd go to the game, but he would have to wear USC underwear. You know, so that's how we got to know a little bit about Rosen through that, for me. And then obviously he's a highly talented guy. People picking him to be a top five. Didn't look like it. And then he puts on a show. He puts on a show. Morris back is against the wall because, you know, UCLA faithful are like, oh, no, not again. And they tweak it and they win it. And now someone, you hear Regents are calling for his job. You know, the biggest thing was that he lost a lot of big games at home. And he just is not winning these big games. It's, you know, Sumlin's a great coach. So we got two coaches on the hot seat. Two big-time programs. Both of them come with a pretty good reputation. But it's, what have you done for me lately? Hank, what say you about that comeback by the Bruins and the hot seat these coaches are on?
Kevin Sumlin should lose his job after that game. I watched – Look here. I'm pulling for him, okay? I'm pulling for him. I felt like of those two coaches, I felt like Jim Moore had a little bit more wiggle room than Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin should lose his job after that game. I'm watching that game. I actually had on Burgundy pulling for Texas A&M. I was like, you got to win this one. You got to win this. And what I saw in the second half made me so angry. It made me so angry. It made me go make a sandwich, and I wasn't even hungry. I saw some of the worst play. You up by 34 points, okay? And you got a freshman quarterback because your quarterback gets hurt. And for some reason, you have ran over 200 yards on this team in the first half, ran all over them. Now you want to start getting cute. and throwing the ball down the middle of the field. Now you want to start getting cute and doing all this funny stuff instead of letting the clock be your friend, letting that big offensive line just run all over. If they're running blitzes and stuff, then have the presence of mind to run a few screens. Have the presence of mind to use your tight end over the middle. Anything that any dime store football fan would do when you're up by 34 points. Instead, all of a sudden, you start wanting to get cute on offense. On top of that, this defense that was absolutely burying Rosen in the first half. You made no adjustment at all. You made no adjustment at all. Okay? You got all you need is a first down or a field goal, okay, so that you can go up by more than two scores and go home with that victory. Instead, you take your freshman quarterback and you try to throw a pass. Instead of just running the ball up in there, kicking a field goal, getting out of there with a win. I was frustrated watching how that game transpired in the second half. And I don't know what Kevin Sumlin was thinking. I don't know what was going on that sideline. But this wasn't a fact. Josh Rosen, a lot of crazy happened in that second half for them to come back. I watched it. It was like, oh, boy. But Texas A&M and that coaching staff was just as much at fault for them coming back from that big deficit as it was Josh Rosen, the Josh Rosen show. They made some plays. There was some fluky stuff that happened. But when you saw what Texas A&M was doing on offense, to simply stop the clock without UCLA even having to use a timeout, and it was just the stupidest thing I had ever seen with a team that had just dominated a team to that point. It made no sense to me. And the fact that he got out of Los Angeles with his job, he should consider it a blessing. Because what I saw, and you might have been asleep, but they replay it, just watch the second half. Don't watch the first half. Just watch the second half. And you'll be like, what are they doing? What are they doing? And when your job is on the line, that game was a microcosm of what's been going on with A&M. Start strong, and then all of a sudden everybody forgot they got a second half of the game to play or a second half of the season to play. And if I'm a regent, if I'm a fan of A&M, and I put myself in that role last night, yeah, you got to go. You got to go now. We might as well make a change now. I'm serious. That was pathetic. That was pathetic.
28 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they don't save you now. I mean, it's a matter of time.
They can't save you. There's no excuse for that. When you think about how he was running the football, they had one running back. They ran for over 200 yards in that game. He didn't even get the ball but maybe another three carries in the second half. That's unheard of. And I'm just a casual fan.
Hank is still it. He's still in the deal here. Oh my goodness. He is in rare form. Hey, that's how it goes. And we're gonna say this. It has been this. We are just getting started with college football, and we'll get more. The season has been crazy, but Hank, end off maybe for dropping the mic. I'd like you just maybe we've been doing the Colin watch. Maybe say a little bit about your reaction to Aaron Rodgers coming out and what he said about in terms of Colin Kaepernick.
Listen. You know, these quarterbacks know each other, okay, and these athletes know each other, all right. And it's a real raggedy argument to say that this man can't play. And Aaron Rodgers came out and said that, and bravo for him. You know, the only thing I will say about this is this, because we've talked about Colin Kaepernick quite a bit, but Colin, listen, if you want to play. Say you want to play. Just say you want to play. All right? Put the onus back on these owners and see what happens then. This ain't no time to be silent. If you really want to see what's going on, speak up. Say, I am willing to play in the NFL. And make them tell you no because you decided to kneel. Now we got something to talk about.
Log Talk Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
It's for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron shows and pans the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Drup.
Yes. Today,
Love Talk Radio.
This one, Mike.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, you know, people talk a lot about their training staff.
Love.
Yes.